The crowd on the wide, paved common in front, looking to be a group of hippies, seemed to be protesting something. As she and her reluctant escort worked their way among the protesters, she could see the fronts of their signs. She couldn't read them. They were all in Dutch. They seemed emphatic. They were also very illuminated, to borrow a term from medieval manuscripts, embellished with fancy borders and scripts, sometimes to the effect she wouldn't have been able to read them had they been written in English. There was a platform erected up front, near the end of the commons. A skinny speaker with a rainbow afro that might have been a wig exhorted the crowd in Dutch, vying with the thumping blast of music that was so distorted she suspected it was being piped through an amp from somebody's iPod. Near the front, an 8-foot-tall, black-and-white bipedal cow cavorted, waving its forehooves as if to emphasize the speaker's impassioned rhetoric. Anya inadvertently jostled a large man with a peace sign bandana and an almost white beard.
Excuse me.
Certainly.
His English was crisp, despite his accent. That was something she'd noticed about the people of Amsterdam. Most of them spoke English, and most were unfailingly polite. Even when protesting, it appeared.
What are you protesting? Animal rights?
Glancing back, she saw several of the Russians standing on the edge of the protest, looking around as if uncertain what to do. If they dove into this crowd the way they had driven through the pedestrians, however crowded together, they would attract way too much attention from the Dutch police standing around looking politely bored in their khaki uniform shirts and dark trousers.
No, I am sorry. We demonstrate here for higher government subsidies for artists. We are all artists here.
But what about the person in the cow suit?
That's Thijs. He does soft sculpture of animals. Last time he was a giraffe, it was truly something.
Sorry I missed it. Thanks.
She moved on with as much purpose as she could muster without calling attention to herself. The Russians had split up and were working their way around both edges of the herd of subsidy seekers.
What was that all about?
Camouflage. Also curiosity. I'm a stranger in town.
She kept her face turned vaguely in the direction of the podium, where a mime had taken the stage and was mugging and making inexplicable circular motions in the air with gloved palms toward the crowd, to the evident annoyance of the speaker.
Ugh, mimes. I hate mimes.
There's something else we have in common.
She kept her eyes moving briskly side to side, trusting her peripheral vision to alert her if any mafia goons overtook them on the crowd's fringe. She mainly scouted for their next escape route. Ahead, to the left, one of the ubiquitous tour boats, low-slung with a glass top, had pulled in just short of the common's end. The tourists were filing off up a brief stairway of stained white stone to street level. She got the impression this was a shopping stop. There seemed to be no ticket kiosk at the small stone pier. From nowhere, a hand gripped her bicep, hard.
A word with you in private, miss.
Oh, I'm sorry. You say you're ill?
She turned her hips clockwise, at the same time rolling her shoulder. It took the whole weight of her body at the gap between his thumb and gripping fingers. As soon as her arm came free, she rotated back to face him. He was another tall and rangy sort in a weird, faintly pink sports jacket and dark blue shirt. He smiled, but it was reminiscent of a shark's.
You? I don't.
She twisted again, this time even harder. Her left hand, knotted into a fist, drove the knuckle of her forefinger into the Russian's right kidney with the force of a riot baton. The air rushed out of him. The color drained out of his fair face, leaving him green beneath his indifferently barbered blonde bangs. His knees buckled. She caught his right arm as people turned to stare.
The poor man, I think he's got appendicitis.
Some warning sense within her tingled. She felt a hand grab her right shoulder even as she readied herself. She spun back as if startled. Quicker than the eye could follow, she hoped. Her right elbow stabbed into the solar plexus of the beefy man who had seized her. His blue-green eyes, slightly slanted, bugged out as he doubled over.
Oh, you poor man. Perhaps there's a food poisoning epidemic.
She turned, peeled his loosening hand the rest of the way off her shoulder, twisted it in a discreet come-along, and, with pressure on the elbow, drove him face first to the cobblestones. He hit hard, but to all the nearby onlookers, it looked like nothing so much as if he had collapsed on his own, and his weight had proven too much for a girl, even a tall, athletic one, to control.
We'll go get help. Come on, Eric.